This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who is second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours, the Lifetime Roofing System, exclusively from GAF and available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
MakingCancerHistory.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Still got a lot of work to do in preparing for week one in Green Bay, but right now we're focused on Kansas City, the preseason, and we're just going about how we game plan for each week. So as soon as we get used to that, we'll be ready to game plan for the week after and then Green Bay.
Middays on the Score.
That's Mitchell. Top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. The Wildcats have the best home schedule in the nation this fall, hosting Michigan, Notre Dame, and more at Ryan Field. Tickets to both games are available with season tickets only by now at nusports.com. He is the editor of Pro Football Weekly, Shaw Media, 670 The Score, senior football analyst. He's Hub Arkish on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. Hi, Hub.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right. Wonderful. Better than the health of the Bears' defense. At least the Roquan Smith, the tightness in the hamstring might have gone away a little bit, but Akeem Hicks's knee and Leonard Floyd's hand and or fingers, it's troubling already.
Well, yeah, the injuries are starting to pile up. I will tell you this, though. Working at least early or through training camp, I guess I should say, with Matt Nagy, it really is a breath of fresh air. He seems to be being very open with us. I mean, last night at the Vernon Hills practice, we asked about one of the kids, and he literally pulled out the report from the trainer and read it to us. I think they're being very forthright with us when they tell us most of this is preventative. There's no question that the injuries to Leonard Floyd and Adam Shaheen and now DeAndre Houston Carson, who was going to make this team or is going to make this team as a key special teamer, those are very real. I'm taking Nagy at his word at this point that the Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks stuff is precautionary. Now, with Roquan Smith, you can't avoid the aspect of it that some of this is early training camp stuff that comes at the end of training camp because he missed early training camp, and that's what they were worried about. But I don't think it's anything more serious than that, and they're trying to make sure it doesn't turn into a Joey Bosa injury where he comes in late and then misses the first 4 weeks of the season.
How much does Leonard Floyd's injury increase the need for the Bears to scour cuts at some point in preseason to find pass rush help?
Connor, I think it's something that they were going to be doing anyway. Whether this lends to any urgency or not, I don't really know. They do genuinely like some of their younger people. I think that Isaiah Irving has done enough to be interesting. If Aaron Lynch ever gets on the football field, he's a guy who's got some real pass rush skills. Kylie Fitz has been kind of up and down. And then Sam Acho is a really good football player. It's like we never talk about him with these conversations. And he's a really solid number two outside backer. He's just not a great pass rusher. So, it's not like they don't know what lineup they're going to field or it's going to be a problem. But they need, even if Leonard Floyd becomes a double-digit sack guy, which he's never been before, they need at least one more professional pass rusher, and it seems no better than 50-50 that guy's on the roster right now.
Yesterday, we saw the name Sharkhandrick West hit free agency after he was let go by the Chiefs and thought that would be a natural fit from a guy who completely understands what he can do and a guy who certainly understands the offense. Is there any interest?
Dan, there may be, but they've already made that move. And I actually wrote about this a few days ago. That's why they very quietly brought Nile Davis in I think it was last Saturday night at that final practice in Bourbonnais. Same exact scenario. Davis, about the same amount of time in Kansas City with Nagy as West. At one time, he was ahead of West on the depth chart. Towards the end, West was ahead of him. But they're basically the same player in some respects. I think Nile Davis gives them a little more flexibility on special teams. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility or the prospect of a Charkandrick West, but they may feel that they've already got that guy here now in Nile Davis.
I was reading through your latest on Pro Football Weekly, and you kind of broke down the depth charts and who's likely to be cut, who's holding on to roster spots. I was pleasantly surprised to see that you've got Javon Wims probably making this, likely because he's put enough on tape that he's probably not going to get through waivers. And to Dan's elation, I'm sure, that would mean that Benny Fowler is probably out.
It looks that way. You know, I don't know if he's out or not. I mean, early on, you know, he came here and you assumed that he had a great shot because of his veteran abilities. I think that Anthony Miller has been the story of camp so far. I think they're very pleased with Taylor Gabriel, with what Tariq Cohen can do in the passing game. The guy nobody's talking about is Kevin White, and there's good reason not to talk about it because you're afraid you're going to jinx something. I think he's had a better than average camp. I mean, nobody's pretending that he's suddenly going to be a number one or a number two, but he's starting to look like a guy who can be a contributor. And so even though you knew he was going to be on the roster, you know, maybe Benny Fowler got that fifth or sixth spot to do the things that now it looks like Kevin White can definitely do. So I would say that Fowler's in real trouble. The other thing, and I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but suddenly Tanner Gentry has been very visible again the last 8-10 days, where he really wasn't that much early in camp. I don't think he can make this team. I think he'll probably be on the practice squad again. But if it came down to a Tanner Gentry or a Benny Fowler, I'm not so sure Gentry wouldn't get that spot. So, yeah, I think Fowler's probably in trouble.
Good, because he's bad. I don't want him on the roster. Quick NFL question. A guy that you've talked about, a team you've talked about, I know you have insight, long insight into the Ursays and the Colts. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star wrote a very strong column yesterday regarding how they fired / retired their longtime radio play-by-play voice in Bob Lamy, who was let go for using the N-word, or using a racial slur, which is believed to be the N-word, at work. And someone there objected to it, and there was an inquest, and he's been fired. However, the Colts thought that nobody would ever find out about it, and they decided to have this big, glorious retirement ceremony where they were extolling his history and what a wonderful guy he was. Why did this happen? And what does it say about the Colts that they chose to try to hide this and ignore the reason for his firing?
Well, you know, I mean, it's an interesting one as far as, you know, opinions of how you react to this stuff. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they guess tried to hide it. But did they try to hide it to avoid some embarrassment for themselves, or were they stuck in a situation where you can't keep a guy who is going to say things like that, but you have a guy who has provided tremendous service and in the broadcast business is, you know, iconic amongst play-by-play guys. And so maybe they just felt it was best for everybody if they did, quote, the right thing by firing him, and maybe the right thing by their fan base in honoring him and trying not to drag him through the mud. I realize that's not going to satisfy everybody. But I just can't go 100% politically correct in our 100% politically correct world right now. That's kind of the best answer I have for you.
What level of conversation is the helmet rule at within clubhouses and within locker rooms and within coaching rooms at this point? Is this something that they're, you know, kind of consistently keeping on their mind, or just after every game, are we hearing basically the only conversation, well, we don't know and we'll see what happens?
No, I think that it's a topic of conversation, but not everyday conversation, Connor. I mean, players are definitely frustrated by it. I'm not so sure that coaches aren't more frustrated by it than players, to tell you the truth. And coming out of these preseason games, these exhibitions, when they have the experience, they're going to talk about it. But it's not something that they're thinking about all week. I mean, I'm standing out here at practice now, and in every, you know, individual drill you see, they're working on it. They're trying to coach it, trying to help players understand. The problem is that it seems pretty clear at this point that not all the officials and coaches understand, you know, and you've got a rule. I'm sure you guys are aware they reconsidered it the other day.
Yeah, they changed it again, right? Now incidental contact isn't going to be flagged.
Well, they're claiming that that was kind of unspoken all along, you know, and that's the problem with pretty much everything the NFL has done the last couple of years in the PR world is, you know, when you get it wrong, let's see if we can spin it a little differently and get out of this without fixing anything. At the end of the day, guys, you know, one of the, it just happens to be close to home, but the Jankowski-Kyle Fuller play, who was as good an example you're going to get of a rule that's never going to work, because at the speed that these guys are playing, I don't fault the official for that call. They're clearly heads down. There was contact. And you had to see the replay to know that it was Jankowski and not Fuller. And so right there, you've given an unlegislatable rule, basically. And again, it kind of gets back to this whole era we're in, the whole PC thing. I mean, my hat's off to him for trying to make this game safe. This is not a safe game. And the things that they're doing here, it's really not going to eliminate helmet contact. It's just going to punish somebody for doing it accidentally. And so I admire their motives, but they're on the wrong track.
You got a quarterback battle elsewhere that might be an interesting one. And obviously, the Bears have Mitchell Trubisky all set and good to go. Did the backup battle get you at all elsewhere? I'm wondering if Sam Darnold has himself a chance or if injuries to A.J. McCarron gives another rookie a chance there.
Clearly McCarron was brought in there to be the quarterback, but I think the most interesting situation is between, you know, the backups and Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen, who, you know, seemingly is playing a lot better than anybody expected him to. I mean, to me, it doesn't mean much. It's the preseason. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think it was ever a doubt that physically he had the tools to be a great NFL quarterback, since he's never shown any of it. And apparently, I mean, you would assume the starter goes down, that Peterman's going to be the guy. But that apparently is a real battle for opening day now, and they have not ruled out Josh Allen. You know, so I do find that one very interesting.
Are you learning anything you didn't know from watching Hard Knocks?
Forgive me, guys, but I don't watch it.
Okay.
I thought we had maybe talked about this once before. I get what everybody enjoys about it, and I get that I may be missing something even in doing my job. But to me, it's just so inappropriate that I choose not to participate. I would never allow a camera into my workplace and penalize my employees that way, knowing that they're on film for a national TV audience. And forgive me for, I don't mean to preach, but I can't bring myself to watch it.
I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, from thinking about it, what you would do for your employees. Even what if the argument were that the exposure and the attention would help the bottom line of your business in some way?
Well, I mean, it's a trade-off. That's obviously why the NFL is doing it. I mean, it's not just the argument, it's the fact. And again, I'm not playing judge and jury here. I'm not trying to, you know, be right or wrong. I know too many people enjoy it. It's not going away. But I, you know, it's kind of my own personal shtick. And I don't feel like it makes me, you know, makes it impossible for me to do my job just that I haven't caught it. I almost find it embarrassing sometimes. And early on, I took a look at a few episodes. And it really made me a little uncomfortable. And so, to me, it's just not the destination viewing.
What fun of boxes would you like to see Mitchell Trubisky check here in his last preseason work? Is it something on the deep ball, a little bit more touch, some presence in the pocket, a little more comfortability in the offense, anything that we can really find here? Or is it going to be too vanilla to perhaps check those boxes for us?
No, Connor, it's interesting because we talked to Mitch just before practice last night, and he was asked exactly that question, what do you hope to accomplish? And he rattled off about six or seven things and then gave us the last with no particular emphasis, but to me it's what it's all about. He said points on the board. Whatever he does in this exhibition game against Kansas City, it can be a step forward, and it'll give us an idea of how comfortable he is and how he's functioning in this offense. But there's still going to be ups and downs. And so I think what they need to focus on first is it's not good enough to be high-powered and throw the ball down the field and go for big plays and get everybody excited if you don't score enough points. And really, if you think about it, these first three preseason games, the first units hardly put any points on the board, and the team as a general is not finishing strong enough. So to me, that's what I'd like to see. Now, the other thing that is fascinating is not only is this the only exhibition game where both sides will game plan a little bit, and so the Chiefs' defense will have a plan, but the Chiefs are planning against their own offense. They know exactly what Mitch is going to do, and so to me, that's going to be really interesting because he's getting no pass here on Saturday. I mean, he's going to have a defense that is stacked against him. And so certainly how he functions overall is going to be important. But if I have to pick one, measurement, so to speak, I'd like to see him put points on the board.
Are we looking at 2.5 quarters for the ones, you think?
Yeah, that's usually the way the third exhibition goes. And I know, and everybody's going to text and point out how it doesn't know it's the fourth. They're treating it like the third. That's what this is. And so 2.5 to 3 quarters. They definitely, one of the things that you always hear is it's the one opportunity in the preseason for the quarterback to get halftime adjustments and try and come out and execute them. So it would certainly be stunning if Mitch and the first team didn't come back out for the third quarter. And then usually how far they go into the third quarter is dictated by how well they've played in the first half. If they're very efficient in the first half, if they do a great job, if they come out and they make some adjustments and that goes well, they may get him off the field. Because one thing that Nagy's been very open with us about is that he has a very conscious awareness of these preseason injuries. He's doing everything he can to avoid them. And I'm quite sure if he feels they've accomplished enough in 2 quarters in a series or two, he might yank them a little sooner than some other coaches might.
You mentioned he's a breath of fresh air, and I think some of that is just because we're juxtaposing him with John Fox and what he didn't do. And I'm wondering if Nagy isn't a guy who sounds like he's letting you in and sounds like he's telling you a lot when he may not be necessarily, or if, like Matt Miller pointed out, that some of these offensive coaches are so confident in who they are and what they do that they really don't have the same baseline level of fear of being honest with you or of letting you in a little bit. Kyle Shanahan a little bit the same way. Which do you think it is with Nagy?
Well, I think it's mostly that he really is a breath of fresh air and is going to be better to work with. I guess I don't know that I need to say this, but I want to make it very clear. I like John Fox. I mean, John Fox is not a bad person. He was a bad head coach, and he went out of his way to make the media's job more difficult and therefore really cheated the fans because we're supposed to be the conduit to his fan base. With Matt, he's young, he's new, and this is going to change. This is not the way this is going to be a year from now or 2 years from now, and a lot of it's going to depend on how much success and how many failures he has. But what is very genuine about him is that he is just an engaging, energetic young guy who at least at this point still has this, I can't believe I'm getting to do this. And I know you guys understand, how much fun and how exciting this is. And, he's just one of the guys, and hopefully he can maintain that for a while. But you just touched on something really key, Dan. I do think he has a tremendous confidence. I don't think he's cocky. I don't think he expects to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think he says, well, Doug Peterson did it in 2 years, I will. I think he has a tremendous confidence in that this offense is his own creation. He knows it can work, and it's up to him to teach it and make it work. And the front office has gone out and given him the pieces he needs to try and execute it. So in that respect, he is willing to talk football with media and with fans, and that's something that the last three regimes, I mean, you got to go back to a Dick Geron who did it but did it in a way that didn't satisfy a lot of fans, and a Wani who, usually you had to cut off the conversation. I love saves to death, but you look at Lovie Smith and then Mark Trestman and then John Fox. It's almost like they felt, that the media and the fans just aren't smart enough to understand or know, so I'm not going to bother telling them. And there's none of that with Matt Nagy.
Given his openness then, given the head coach's openness, do you get any sense that there's a battle that he's more likely interested in than others as we get to the penultimate preseason game? Or that he might feel is more important for his offense, maybe?
No, guys, I think what he's trying to do, and I'm looking at the big picture now, going all the way back to January and everything he's done since he's got here, I think he's just trying to make sure he tamps down expectations a little bit. Because some people are getting a little carried away. I mean, there's a lot of playoff team predictions out there that I don't understand what they're based on. I do think this team could be very competitive by the second half of the season. I think they're improved. I think the coaching staff has improved. But all of that takes time in the league. And so I think what he's doing is keeping the focus on everything is new. We're trying to develop everywhere. But I mean, there's very few positions where this team is set. They feel great about all these new receivers, but none of them played a regular season game. They're probably set at running back, but they're not deep there. There's a real position or roster battle for that fourth running back spot. I'm sure he's concerned about the pass rush. But one thing that's very genuine, and again, this is both, from the interviews, the mass interviews and some private conversation, The defense is Vic Fangio's, and he has ultimate confidence in Fangio. Now, if he has to be, you know, making a head coach decision relative to the defense, he will, and he won't be shy about it, but he has a tremendous confidence in Vic, and so I don't think he's terribly worried about the defensive position battles right now. I think the focus is more how do we get the most out of the players we have.
Hub, thanks. We will talk next week, right?
All right, guys.
That is Hub. He is at Bears practice. He is going to be on our show twice throughout our football week.
Yeah, we'll get Hub, and then you'll get Hub.
It's Wednesday and Thursday. Is that how that's going to
yes,
work, I believe?
Yes, sir.
He was brought to you by Subway. Check out three signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style of the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. We have some likely NBA rules changes.
Really?
Yep. The committee is meeting, the board of governors, etc., and it is believed that there are going to be some new things that you are going to see on NBA hardwood.
I've been waiting for this. We have long needed to go right back to peach baskets.
It's not that.
No, we need to, though. But put a bottom right back in that
but
thing.
But it is something, and we are going to let you know what it is next on the score.
Cubs fans, listen to every Cubs game here.
3-2 to Schwarber. Swung on, drilled in the air. Get out the tape measure, long gone. It was up, and it was clobbered, and the Cubs lead 1-0.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by eBay. Fill your cart with color. The PGA Tour's so-called playoffs begin today in New Jersey, although the tour would prefer you call them the FedEx Cup playoffs in honor of the corporate entity that funds them. Regardless of the name, the playoffs, now in their 12th year, have been a good thing for golf because the money, the player who wins the ultimate prize in Atlanta next month takes home $10 million, has gotten the top players to play most of the time. Pre-playoffs, most of the stars went home for the year once the majors ended. There's one real problem. No, the playoffs aren't really playoffs. It isn't just that regular season points carry over into the alleged postseason. It's that the tour skews the points to try to create a dramatic finish. It doesn't work. The system's so complicated that several years ago, Bill Haas asked Commissioner Tim Fincham, who won the FedEx Cup? You did, Fincham said. That's drama. I'm John Feinstein.
And now, an ad from Dad.
Oh, yeah, just this one line, right? All right, here we go. Save money on car insurance when you... Huh? Well, it's not? I thought that was the mic. This is the mic here. Okay. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Is that too close? Sorry. Well, I don't know where to stand. Nobody's told me where to stand.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who is second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
School's back in session, which means it's time for you to learn how much you can save at Sunrise Chevrolet. Get 20% off MSRP on a great selection of new Chevys, including Sonics, Sparks, and Impalas, or lease a new 2018 Equinox for just $199 a month for 36 months. Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, or visit sunrisechevrolet.com. Sunrise Chevrolet,
the bright way to buy.
$2849 to its signing, plus tax, title, license, and dock fee to qualified buyers. Must finance with GMFC dealer for details. Find new roads.
Sam 76 from Sam Adams has the refreshing drinkability of a lager, but the delicious flavor of an ale. So, an ale-ger? Just try the damn beer. Sam 76. Hard to explain, easy to drink.
Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Spree. No purchase necessary. Visit enterpromo.com.
If you're planning a bathroom update, chances are a boring vanity is not high on your list. At the Home Depot, it's not on ours either. Come in now or go online for up to 40% off a beautiful vanity you'd be proud to call your own. To match your style, whatever your style, and fit your budget perfectly. Sorry, not available in boring. Select vanities up to 40% off in-store, online, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through September 19th, Continental US only while supplies last.
Summer off to a tough start, Jack?
Oh, hey, Tubi. Must be time for a new mower.
Well, hey, I'm just a talking inner tube. But I know you'd be having a little more fun racing down water slides and roller coasters or enjoying live shows in the water park capital of the world.
Yeah, we could use a family vacation.
Come on, Jack, just say the magic words.
Wisconsin Dell!
It's not hard to have fun when you know the magic words. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Swing a line drive down the left field line. Base hit, Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field. Get out the tape measure, long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant fly to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball, home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
One of Chicago's most legendary teams partners with 670 The Score, official play-by-play home for Bulls basketball on the radio.
Levine, baseline, well, right-handed, powered up. Oh, my goodness.
Rainbow three, go.
What a shot.
Zitzer's going to attempt a left side three.
Yes.
The kick out, Portis, three ball for the tie.
Yes.
Bobby Portis has tied the ball game with a triple.
Listen to every game here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, your new radio home for the Bulls.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show nights 6 to 10.
Humboldt Park and Carlos. Hey Carlos, you're on The Score. What's the opinion you were so dug in on but were proven wrong?
Lawrence, mine was, I was 8 or 9 years old. I'm 39 years old right now. It was the mid-80s, and I swore up and down to my family and my friends that everything that Jose Canseco did was natural. I bought the baseball cards. We had the jerseys. I had the posters. I mean, we're talking about my mom spent so much money because this guy was my favorite baseball player of all time. My homie loved Ken Griffey Jr. I would tell him we would go back and forth, Canseco versus Griffey, Canseco versus Griffey. One of them is a Hall of Famer, and the other one, he came out to be a cheater.
I think about those guys doing their little forearm thing at home plate and just be like, steroids. Just like immediately, like, ah, steroids, those two guys.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
$20K, 0% equals $23.80 for 1,000 borrowed.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Cats return to Ryan Field after a 10-win campaign last year. Don't miss out on matchups with Michigan, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, and more. Season and single-game tickets on sale at nusports.com. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, there is this news. The NBA's Board of Governors are expected to pass... Is it Board is or Board are? Governors are. Board is.
Board right? is.
Expected to pass rule changes for the 2018-19 season. That include resetting the shot clock after an offensive rebound to 14 seconds from 24.
Okay.
Simplifying the clear path foul rule and expanding the definition of the hostile act to more easily trigger instant replay. The NBA sent a memo to the league's GMs and coaches today to outline the unanimous recommendations of the competition committee to the Board of Governors. Anytime you hear that, that means it's being adopted.
Yeah, it's probably happening.
So they'll vote on the three rules in a September 20th, 21st meeting, need a two-thirds majority. The NBA believes that the resetting of the shot clock to 14 seconds after offensive rebounds will increase shot attempts, especially at the end of close games. The NBA studied FIBA's implementation of the rule in 2014, as well as its use in G League, WNBA, and NBA Summer League games. Okay, so this has been a long time coming. Under the changes to the clear path rule, a clear path to the basket would be in play in these three instances.
Okay.
A personal foul is committed on any offensive player during his team's transition scoring opportunity.
Well, sure.
So is that a literal clear path? It's the possibility of a clear path.
So it's the lazy Euro fouls that we've been seeing. They've been talking about trying to find a way to get rid of those, if not just limit them.
When there's a transition,
so
immediately on a turnover, a grab.
Yeah, right? Like where the defender is standing at about half court and he's just not moving his feet at all, just waiting for the guy to come to him and he just slaps him across the wrist.
Huh. So that is going to be a personal foul committed on any offensive player during his team's transition scoring opportunity. So let's say there's a 2-on-1, somebody well behind the play. If you foul a teammate well behind the play,
yeah,
it limits Hacka too.
Yes, in that way it does.
It does.
Right. Two, when the foul occurs, the ball is ahead of the tip of the circle in the backcourt. No defensive player is ahead of the offensive player with the scoring opportunity. And the offensive player is in control of the ball or a pass to him has been released. So that's a more literal description of a true clear
yeah,
pass.
It's almost like offsides.
Yes, it's what it sounds like. That the ball is ahead of the tip of the circle in the backcourt. No defensive player is ahead of the offensive player. Yeah, okay. And the defensive foul deprives the offensive team of a transition scoring opportunity. That's an even broader way of
looking at
it.
Yeah, so that's just your blanket coverage.
So in the instance of a clear path foul, the team would be given two free throw attempts and possession on the sideline closest to where the foul happened.
All right.
The NBA says the rule would eliminate the need that a play start in the backcourt, and referees would no longer need to make a judgment call on whether a defender was between the offensive player and the basket, or if a defender is ahead of the player being fouled but not between. So the expanded definition of the hostile act to trigger the instant replay would now extend beyond interaction with another player and also include a hostile interaction with a referee, a coach, or a fan.
That's classic, one of those rules in the book where you go, wait, we didn't have this in there earlier?
Yeah, we should have had that, right?
No one put this in? This would have, I mean, sure, it maybe never happens, but you got to have the language that covers it. So does that mean in the clear path thing, if you get a defensive rebound and outlet the thing, you can, without the ball being controlled by a player, once you've outletted it, you could essentially have a defensive interference call that is a clear path. I mean, it would be a foul, but it's now a clear path foul. Am I reading that right?
All right, let me read this again. All right, missed shot, defensive rebound, outlet pass. Does that constitute a transition scoring opportunity?
So there needs to be, if the blanket statement at the end of this is the defensive foul deprives the offensive team of a transition scoring opportunity, transition scoring opportunity needs to be previously defined. Well, I'm sure it is.
Well, because if everybody's walking, if it's a defensive rebound and everybody is simply turning and jogging up the floor, that wouldn't necessarily constitute a transition scoring opportunity. Let's say it's a missed jumper. The ball falls underneath the basket. It's picked up by a big man.
Kevin Love gives you your outlet pass.
Well, wait. That's different than, say, missed three, long rebound caroms out, defensive rebound. You realize you might have a numbers advantage, so you crank it ahead.
Yeah, I think it's written vague enough to where the NBA is always pretty good with giving some latitude to their refs.
I think knowing a transition opportunity when you see it, my guess is not all defensive rebounds constitute quote-unquote transition opportunities until we see how fast the outlet pass, how fast everybody's running, where the outlet pass goes to, what the number situation
is. So that's going to deter. Yeah, that's probably a good point. It's going to the path is going to be determined by those getting onto the path, not by the guy throwing the outlet pass.
All right, if I catch a missed shot,
right,
my point guard's standing right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, 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 and I hand him the ball.
Yeah.
technically you are in transition, but you're not in transition.
You're not in transition.
Right. You're not. It's not a transition opportunity.
Of course not.
You just handed the ball to your point guard.
Right.
The other thing with the shot clock, and while I'm in favor of that in most circumstances.
Remember, the shot clock rule is that an offensive rebound would now reset the thing to 14, Ryan. Is,
and I think this part of it could affect the Bulls a lot because they have lots of guys that want to get their shots. What if they shoot at 20 and they get an offensive rebound at 18? It would have been at 18. Does that still reset to 14, or do they still get those 4 seconds?
Ooh. I think it instead of resetting to 24, it's just going to reset to 14.
To 14?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay, so in essence, you lose 4 seconds in that regard.
Let's go back to the rule. Yeah, I mean, it says it would reset it from, instead of 24, to 14.
Yeah, but especially with more shots being taken early in the shot clock, you would think that...
Or is like right. Price
so,
is right.
So does that have an unintended consequence of maybe less transition shots?
Or is it an intended consequence?
Or less ignorant shots, maybe?
Well, Zach LaVine just said, wait, what? this is going
to
do what?
I have to shoot earlier?
All right, I'm not quite sure what the 309 is saying. The 309 says the rule adds to Hacka, because now you can foul a bad shooter and not the one with the ball. But it's still two shots and the ball.
Right.
You're still not going to do it because if it's a clear path foul,
right.
You don't just get the guy to take two shots and you get the ball
back. You get the ball is what the end.
Right. You can foul the bad shooter, but that team gets the ball back no matter what happens.
And that's kind of the point of Hacka, is that you hope he misses and then you get the ball back instead of them keeping the ball.
Right.
I don't think at least we've worked that out. I still think that Rick's point's interesting. If you're losing 4 seconds on the shot clock, if you're putting one up at 20, getting the rebound at 18, and now you've reset it to 14.
Now, I don't know how much it's really going to matter.
Is it? Well, unless they've just written it to a degree where it's going to be, it'll reset to 14 if you put it up at 2. And so, you know, you're putting that shot up at 2.
I think the benefit of what they're intending of the towards the end of the game much outweighs the like 3 seconds where it could matter when Jabari Parker ignorantly throws up a 3.
Yeah, I also don't think that there's going to be a material difference in that amount of time, because usually if the vast majority of offensive rebounds are pretty close to the basket and are often immediately put back up you're tipping it up or you're in chaos there anyway, you're flipping it to a teammate. It isn't that common that you would get an offensive rebound and completely reset and recycle and begin your stuff again.
Yeah, I mean, really, it would just be rebounds, which are usually held by the defense. Long rebounds usually go to the defense anyway.
Yeah, it's the circumstance that you mentioned off the top where it's running out the clock at the end of a game. Yeah. That's where it matters most.
Yeah.
I generally like it. I mean, it's not the Elam ending we all want, because that would be the...
We do all want the Elam ending. What was the last story we were reading about the Elam ending being adopted somewhere or thrown into... Was it the Big Three?
No, it was the Big Three. The basketball tournament. I watched
that. That's right.
I saw some of those. Maybe I was watching the wrong games. I saw some of those where a couple were cool and a couple were just like duds. Like, it's a blowout's a blowout. Some people are, you know, trying to say that's going to eliminate the blowout.
No, no, no. They never claimed that it would eliminate a blowout, but it just makes the shots that are taken near the end more meaningful.
Yeah.
So that's what I was. We were in Bourbonnais. I was over. I forgot where I was. It was on television, and I was watching the night that I stayed over in Bourbonnais.
Oh, yeah.
I was there watching.
Were you with Jay at apparently the epic Bourbonnais Buffalo Wild Wings?
I was not.
What?
What? I missed.
What happened at the epic Bourbonnais Buffalo
Wings? It's the best
one
on the planet.
Is the beer very, very cold? You know, you can always trust that at Buffalo Wild Wings that the beer is going to be very, very cold.
I don't drink before I drive home, Connor. I'm responsible.
Well, I mean, one beer would be.
But. I will eat 15 wings.
Why is it
only
better?
15? It's just great. It's very consistent. It's always hot and crispy and delicious. And the service is great. It's the best B-dubs on the planet.
Huh.
Somebody's angling for wings.
See, I thought mine intended was
the nicest. I am always angling for wings.
More hot takes like that on the I'm Fat podcast, which you can subscribe to on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider.
Best niche chain restaurants like that.
There are superior chains.
No, you're right.
You know, there's that one burger joint you don't go to that one.
Look, yeah, like right? Taco Bell in Wrigleyville.
Some chains have more consistent quality control than others. And the larger ones, I think, are better. My experience locally is the high variance chains were Harold's.
Okay.
And Brown's Chicken.
Never been to Brown's.
Had really? Brown's. High variance never been. On a few phones.
Had Brown's. Never been to a Brown's.
Yeah.
So I've been like brought or like catered to the place. Not catered.
Yeah, I learned
somebody
that the,
brings a whole thing of.
That the Brown's close to where I grew up was a really, really good one. And I had assumed that they were all like the one at 22 and 41. I don't even know if it's still there, but that was. We frequented the Brown's Chicken.
Culver's is good for that.
Always.
For like consistency
always.
Of either burger or
never.
Chicken.
Never a dirty Culver's, never a poorly constructed burger at Culver's. The cheese curds are always properly fried.
I'm telling you, the spicy chicken, better than the Wendy's spicy chicken.
They do the fish sandwich, too, during the whole, Lent thing. If you're celebrating or not, they got a great fish sandwich.
Rudy in Schaumburg is on the score. Hello, Rudy.
Hey, guys, I have a question for both of you. Maybe you can answer it. I'm a baby boomer, and I'm really befuddled watching the NBA. I thought eliminating the three-point line would get a little more credibility and a little bit more character back to what basketball was.
Okay.
A little more footwork and ability.
You'll have to define what you mean by credibility and character.
Okay. There's no defense.
That's not true. There's a ton of defense. The defenses are more complex and more intricately coached than ever.
Okay. I don't see it as much as you see it. I'm looking at
There's more possessions. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing good defense. Okay. There's just more possessions than there used to be. And they're still not scoring as much as some teams in the 80s.
Let me ask you this, then. More footwork and more action and more credibility from the center position.
What do you mean by credibility? Credibility in the eyes of whom?
Where do they put the ball on the floor? Now, back in the 60s and 70s, that ball was on the floor. And you had a center, you had forwards. We had more footwork and had the ball.
Footwork. What are you watching, Rudy? If I may, what teams have you been? Current NBA teams have you been watching?
Well, basically, I've been watching them all. Now, footwork. Are you saying the footwork today is the same as it was back in the 70s?
It's far superior today.
I have to disagree. I don't see it. I don't see any board work. All I see is 3-point shots. Now, growing up on the West Side.
Rudy,
Rudy,
I think you really need to sit down and watch NBA basketball a little more carefully, because I don't think you're watching current NBA basketball, which in almost every single aspect of the game is so far superior as to be unrecognizable.
Do you think the 3-point is an attractive shot for basically anybody other than the millennial group? The boomers, we sit there and watch the game and get totally confused by it.
Don't speak for it. Hey, how old do you think Hubie Brown is? 90?
At least.
No.
I don't even think he's a boomer. And he's constantly talking about how spectacular the game is now.
Well, that's his opinion. That's one person. I just don't see it.
Rudy, what don't you like? Would you prefer short, slow people missing shots?
No, what I would prefer is the tremendous ability that these people have today that are playing the game and eliminate the 3-point shot.
Why? Why would you eliminate something as exciting and difficult as a 3-point shot?
Wait a minute. You're calling a 3-point shot about as exciting as a dunk.
So you want there to be no spacing for these great athletes with great footwork to operate with?
Basically, I think you would get spacing.
How?
Because you'd have to, because you got guys like Hubie Brown and everybody you mentioned would have to have creative ability to put different offenses in. It would work.
Do you know what offenses do you like watching?
And how is Hubie Brown making spacing happen?
Yes, he's a broadcaster. What offenses, what particular NBA offenses do you like?
What offenses do I like or don't like? I like Houston's. I think they play a pretty good game. But I don't like the 3-point.
Wait a sec. What is it you like about Houston's offense that doesn't involve the 3-point shot?
Because you have people there who are going to cut in. You have people there who utilize the center. You have people there who will pass off.
Who do you like? Who do you like watching on Houston?
Actually, they have the least amount of passes by any team last year.
They were last in the league in number of passes.
Okay.
The Warriors were number one. Do you like watching the Warriors?
Well, the Warriors have a little bit more ability as far as cutting in, and that's another good example. They move the ball around a lot more than most of the other teams do. So I think moving the ball around Create shots.
Okay, do you, Rudy, know that this is all tracked, that you can actually go and see which teams move the ball the most, right?
Hey, let me ask both of you this. You both get excited by three-point shots. You both get excited by dunks. Is that basically what you're both saying?
No, not at all. I get excited by watching watching the best athletes in the world play the game.
Well, they are the best athletes in the world to play the game. Let's not forget that. They're better than Cousy. They're better than Cousy with his underhand, Chamberlain's underhand free throw. They are the best athletes.
Yeah, I think we're good on this, Rudy. And
Rudy, I'm going to be real clear. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I swear to God, I don't.
He loves the Houston offense, but he hates three-pointers. Okay.
So he likes the 2 seconds Clint Capella gets to hold the ball before he dunks it.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I'm trying.
I'm
you don't look well.
No, I feel sick.
You look a little green.
I feel sick. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
All right.
I really try to. I really do try. I think that's something that we got to do better, is understanding where people are coming from and how they're getting there. And I have no idea what the hell he was talking about.
Doesn't the three-pointer, isn't that what is actually creating the spacing for what he says about guys cutting in? You have rookies.
Who coaches the Houston Rockets again?
You have rookies with the footwork of 20-year veterans, because they're studying the... Jaylen Brown is studying Kobe Bryant's exact foot placement on YouTube since he was 8.
I feel like I'm being gaslit. Yeah. I feel like Rudy's telling me I didn't watch the finals last year.
Footwork?
I watched the finals. I watched the playoffs. We did a whole month and a half on... We watched together. We were there. We watched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Top of the hour. It is, correct me if I'm wrong, it is the McNeil and Parkins Show. Danny Parkins and Nick Shepkowski today are going to be your pairing. They've got wrestling friends. I can't really speak to this because I don't know who these people are.
Do they have wrestling friends?
Jim Ross is coming on. And
oh, that's
fantastic. I know nothing of wrestling. Never watched it growing up. He's a fantastic storyteller.
Yes.
And he knows a
wrestler?
Broadcaster. No, he's a broadcaster.
Broadcaster. He's the guy that put the flavor in wrestling on broadcast.
It is fantastic. I've heard him on with Lawrence before, and he is a fantastic listener.
I've had him on shows before. He's delightful.
I'm sure I saw him in one of the documentaries, in the Ric Flair documentary or in the Andre the Giant documentary. Absolutely. So I saw
probably
him there.
Wearing a cowboy hat.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
More than likely wearing
a cowboy hat guy.
Yep.
And he makes his own barbecue sauce.
Which is good. Wow. I've had some. Dropped it off. It's really nice.
Really?
Yeah.
All right,
good stuff.
We'll talk to them about it in just a bit. You got the score.
Drive In with Mully and Haw.
I think Ted Phillips is the de facto general manager, and Ryan Pace is just a guy that they use to look for talent.
I don't agree with that for one minute, but I think
Drive Home with McNeil and Parkins.
I steer into conflict. I enjoy a little bit of tension.
You do wrap your arms around it. On your way to work and on your way home, 670 The Score's got you covered. Oradio.com.
Looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home? Then you need to call the most honest lender I know, Team Hochberg. Meet Sally. Sally's heard hundreds of Team Hochberg's ads and called them for her mortgage, except no. While Pumping Gas, the nation's largest online lender with a shiny Rockets advertisement, was running in the pump, so Sally called them for a mortgage, and that was a bad move, because the lender that loves their Rocket quoted Sally a high rate and exorbitantly high closing costs, so then she called Team Hochberg, and they explained how the lender that's infatuated with the Rocket has exorbitant closing costs. Now, Team Hochberg doesn't have a Rocket, but they have lower rates and lower closing costs than the nation's largest online lender, and they secured the financing on Sally's new home. So when securing a mortgage, you can call the online lender that loves spending millions promoting their Rocket by charging borrowers ridiculously high closing costs, or you can call a trusted local lender, Team Hochberg, at 312-751-1333. Who has substantially lower closing costs and interest rates. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of Score listeners. They can't help you if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License C-4358, NMLS 19186.
This week's look back at baseball history takes us to 1989, when Nolan Ryan strikes out Ricky Henderson on a 96-mile-per-hour fastball to become the first and only Major League player to strike out 5,000 batters. The Ryan Express would finish his career with 5,714 career strikeouts, almost 1,000 more than Randy Johnson, who is second all-time. This moment in baseball history is brought to you by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Waffles, Burritos, and Chimichangas, which can be found in the frozen food section at Tony's Fresh Market. Text BASEBALL to 811-811 today for your money-saving coupon.
Pros know there's more to a roof than shingles. That's why the Home Depot carries GAF's Lifetime Roofing System. From underlayment and leak barriers to shingles, ventilation, and more. Delivered right to your job site in job lot quantities. For complete roofing systems, get everything you need under one roof. Ours, the Lifetime Roofing System, exclusively from GAF and available at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Summer off to a tough start, Jack?
Oh, hey, Tubi. Must be time for a new mower.
Well, hey, I'm just a talking inner tube. But I know you'd be having a little more fun racing down water slides and roller coasters or enjoying live shows in the water park capital of the world.
Yeah, we could use a family vacation.
Come on, Jack, just say the magic words.
Wisconsin Dell!
It's not hard to have fun when you know the magic words. Go to wisdells.com and plan your trip today.
Sam 76 is a crisp, refreshing lager from Sam Adams. It's also a flavorful ale. It's easy to drink, so you can enjoy a lot of them like a lager. But it's got this tropical citrus aroma that you typically find in an ale. So it's really an awesome hybrid between a lager and an ale. A delicious, easy-to-drink lagery ale. Or maybe a drinkable, smooth and refreshing ale-y lager? You know what? Just try the damn beer. Sam 76. Hard to explain. Easy to drink. Boston Beer Company, Boston, Mass. Savor the flavor responsibly.
Summer's here, and that means a trip to Circle K, home of the one and only Polar Pop Cup. We're here to help you keep cool. In fact, you can't imagine anything colder. And Circle K lets you choose your Polar Pop Cup, your favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece in the coolest cup around. Only 89 cents every day. Polar Pop lets you do you. Only at Circle K. Polar Pop!
You've reached the High Fashion Hotline.
Hi, my family is so bummed the countdown to the end of summer is here.
Don't be. It's the start of huge savings at Old Navy.
Old Navy?
Yep, kick off your fall fashion with Old Navy's major savings. Right now, get 50% off all tees, 40% off all dresses, and 30% off all jeans and sweatshirts.
50, 40, and 30% off? That's a countdown I love.
Then get to Old Navy. Tees start at just $6 for adults, $4 for kids at Old Navy and OldNavy.com.
What are we waiting for? Old Navy, here we come.
High fashion, Old Navy. Valid 823 to 825. Excludes in-store clearance. Active licensed and men's package tees.
Circle K's Polar Pop lets you do you. Choose your Polar Pop cup, favorite flavor, or create your own custom masterpiece. Only 89 cents every day. Only at Circle K.
Stream the score with Radio.com. It's easy. Go to Radio.com/listen or download the Radio.com app now and get all your favorite score shows live on your mobile device. Stream the score with Radio.com. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
What's that sports opinion that you were absolutely 100% convinced that it was going to go down and you felt like you had good reasoning behind your opinion, but even though someone told you that you were wrong, you were like, nah, man, nah, I believe in this. And then you were proven wrong. St. Charles and Christian. Christian, you're on The Score.
Yeah, it was easy. As soon as you mentioned it, for me, it was Ryan Leaf is going to be a much better quarterback than Peyton Manning. And I was so dug in on that opinion. I mean, talk about crashing and burning down the earth real, real quick. It's just, it's embarrassing, but, like, I was so entrenched that it's just something I have to wear for the rest of my life.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
For the ones who get it done.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm an old man. I hate everything but Matlock. Ooh, it's on now.
Yeah, we were still trying to figure that one out, but
Okay. All right. You know what? Fine. You get to watch whatever kind of basketball you want. Just remember that Kristaps Porzingis, Giannis, and Kevin Durant, all of them at 7 feet and over, do not have the footwork that they used to have back in the day. I can't even.
It's just, you don't even. I would advise you to go back and watch what you remember as golden era basketball.
You mean George Mikan didn't pull up from 35 feet?
And throw it underhand.
George Mikan barely run 35 feet. The hell are you talking
new
about?
NBA record, like, George Mikan has run 35 feet.
I like Rick's idea of getting rid of the three-point line and then assuming there would be spacing in there, or Rick's point of of the spacing loss. So you're going to have all these great superior athletes that we've all seen, we all realize, running into just what, like a brick wall of like soccer players lining up in front of a free kick.
It's just watch what you, somewhere in your golden memories, what you think, where it was actually what you remember as being good. I promise you it wasn't. It was bad.
I forget.
Everything you thought was good was bad.
I forget who put it out, but Jason tweeted out a links during the playoffs, and I saw it of just over and over again. Footage of Michael during his prime running, the defenders just getting out of the way and letting him through into the lane. Like, all this stuff. He'd get a step, and then guys are walking.
All
it's
right,
all these easy
stick
buckets.
Stick your tongue to out, do your thing.
Goff tweeted this, and I can't remember who had the original thread of it. It's some of the best stuff. I looked at it, I'm like, oh my God.
I know, I retweeted
this is what
it. Yeah.
And I can't remember who put it out
it
there.
It isn't just that. It was the overall quality of basketball, the missed shots. We're talking like playoff games, and the grabbing, and the fouling, and the illegal defenses.
Look at the size strength ratio on everybody. Everybody.
Anthony Mason was a three on a team that made the Eastern Conference Finals. He belongs on the I'm Fat Podcast basketball team.
I think he's dead.
This guy here is cross him off.
Yeah, we'll cross him off.
Makes him more qualified for ours.
But do you remember when the 3-point shooter guy was a job?
Specialist.
Yes.
Specialist.
Look at this guy. What do you do? I shoot threes.
I hit dingers.
No, it was like Trent Tucker and Craig Hodges. And then, your shooty guy is
Jed
in.
Jed Bushler.
Do your thing, shooty guy. And now your center comes off rubs off a screen, does a brush block, takes one step back, and knocks it down from 26.
Your center.
Right.
You're 7'1", incredibly mobile, can put the ball on the floor 5 times without any trouble. Guy.
And you know who else is expected to do that?
Everyone.
Everyone.
Literally everyone.
Every position, every person is expected to hit those shots.
Dwight Howard spent time this offseason talking about how he was going to shoot more threes. I don't think it's going to work.
You don't.
But even he's talking about it.
I know.
The thing is, like, there's still, like, Clint Capella. You can be Clint Capella or DeAndre Jordan, too, but you have to be pretty much one of those two extremes.
Also, you have to have...
Or you're a Spur.
You have to have a point guard on that team who can do the things that gets you into the places you need to be if you're Clint Capella.
It's just amazing.
And if that's what you want to watch, if you're saying that you want to watch Chris Paul more, fine. But say you want to watch more Chris Pauls.
Did you see John Oliver was they did a show on trade, and they started out the show by talking about the importance of teaching your children about trade, because things that go on at lunch where you don't want you send your kid with a pizza Lunchables, and the kid comes home with Dwight Howard. So they actually have a picture. They have it photoshopped. The kid, Dwight Howard, just standing there, just walking through the door as the kid comes home. I had to have a talk with my
kid. That's true, too.
Because I put in the little, the 8-ounce bottled water.
Okay, yeah.
Even though now kids, of course, have every kid's got a water bottle in school.
It's a status symbol.
Hydrated kids. So, do you say analogy or Nalgene?
Nalgene.
Yes,
yeah.
Nalgene.
So, it's an analogy to status symbols.
If you do
a
Nalgene analogy, that gets to be too much. So, I would say, bring your water bottle home, because I can reuse it a couple times before it gets gross, and then, whatever. So, and it didn't come home. And I said, I found out he was trading his water. And I said, who's trading for water? One of his friends was trading chips.
He's mixed drinks at
the
table?
One of his friends was trading chips for water. And I said, well, why do you do it? And he looked at me and he said, because there's a water fountain. And I have a water bottle. So he's trading from a position of strength. And he was explaining, look, I didn't have chips.
That's interesting.
There's water right here. There's water right there. I don't need that water. I wanted the chips.
See,
and I couldn't argue with his logic.
Growing up at a school where you had cold lunches, you had to bring your own lunch for 5 or 6 years, you learn the value of trade. Like, if you had a pizza Lunchable, You were God. You were God at the table. Although it was harder to trade than you think because you got, you know, if you have a lunch where you've got the ho-hos
hard to make a
and
market
a fruit
for
snacks
it,
right? And a sandwich and, you know, chips or something like that. If you've got five things to trade, you have five, pizza Lunchable, you can't separate the constituent elements of it. No one's trading for your
trade
pizza
the whole
sauce.
Thing.
What you had to do at best to make the margins work was trade each one. I think it was three pizzas in the pizza Lunchable, right? Three of them. So you had to trade each made pizza so as to get something back. Otherwise, you're just trading the one thing.
And you could never get value.
Exactly. What one person, how do you find a farm system that can give you enough prospects back for Chris Sale? It's hard to do. You can find them,
yeah,
but it's kind of hard to do.
But then you're trading for something someone else is touching.
Well, you let them make the... We were nine. Nobody gave a damn.
I know, but it's still kind of... I don't want you to touch it. At nine, everybody's covered in germs.
We were still stealing the little thingies on the, you know, the starter jackets.
Yeah.
The thing at my school, when you had to have a starter jacket. If you didn't have one, you were basically a social pariah.
Uh-huh.
So you would... The little nubby things with the spring load on your drawstring for the hood, whatever those are called.
The spring-loaded,
like, stopper things.
Yeah.
People would go around recess and steal them off of other people's and then wear them like a Rambo necklace. You know, you would put more and more of them on the street.